if you want to turn there. I need your prayers so badly today. I want to continue looking at some gleanings in the book of Genesis today, some things that happened in the life of Abraham. We've been talking about Abraham now for several weeks, so I want to refresh your memory on some stuff. I don't know what the title of this sermon, maybe Abraham at 75 and 99. This sermon is also about justification by faith and what it means and what it doesn't mean. Just let me throw out here. Justification by faith means you've got to have faith to be justified thereby, right? I hope everybody in this meeting house understands that faith's a fruit of the Spirit. 2 Thessalonians 3:12 tells us that not all men have faith. The exact quote in 2 Thessalonians 3 is, "All men have not faith." And we would say not everybody has faith. You want to know why not everybody has faith, church? Because not everybody's born of God. But if you're born of God, you possess faith. You must be born of God first to possess faith. Any person who possesses faith already is born of God. And then I can exercise my faith and it will declare me to be just to myself and others around me. That is what justification by faith really means. I'll give you another one. When it says the just shall live by faith, let me tell you what that's not saying. That is not saying that you must exercise faith to be eternally saved. It says the just shall live by faith. If it were teaching that you have to exercise faith to be eternally saved, that verse would say the unsaved shall live by faith. It doesn't say that. The just shall live by faith. God's people, born again people, are the only ones who have faith anyhow. Can you say amen? I cannot describe how critically important that is. Now, what I want to talk to you about today, I need your prayers. I'd like to preach 3 hours today. Who said, ugh? Who was that? We need to have a business meeting right here. If we had ushers, I'd say, lead that person out here. No, I'm kidding. I'm not going to do it, of course. But I may have to, I don't know. But I want to talk to you about some events that happened in the life of Abraham when he was 75 and he was 99. These are recorded in the Genesis chapter 15 and chapter 17. And people don't think about the time gap between 15 and 17. In Genesis 15, Abraham's 75. In Genesis 17, he's 99, 25 years later. By the way, and I'm also probably going to read Romans 4. When you read Romans chapter 4, you've got to keep in mind the chronology that is in the book of Genesis, or we're going to be confused. So let me just reiterate here just a little bit. In the life of Abraham, in Genesis chapter 12, he is called up out of Ur of the Chaldees. Most Bible chronologists estimate that he was 60 about when that happened. Y'all remember me talking to you about this a couple of weeks ago. Hebrews tells us, Hebrews 11:8 tells us that by faith Abraham obeyed God and came up out of Ur of the Chaldees. Does everybody in here understand what that means? That means Abraham possessed faith, was born of God before he ever left Ur of the Chaldees. He obeyed God by faith when he left Ur of the Chaldees. And by the way, how would you like to have done what God said? Come on, well, I'm taking you somewhere. I'm not telling you where you're going. Anybody want to sign up for that duty to follow the Lord and not even knowing where he's taking you? My brothers and sisters, may I boldly say, we'll be better off to follow the Lord not knowing where he's taking us than to follow ourselves thinking we know where we're going. I want y'all to clearly understand that Abraham was a born-again, saved child of God before he ever left Ur of the Chaldees. I wish you'd say amen. At least think it, okay? All right, in Genesis chapter, that was in 12. In Genesis chapter 13, as when Abraham and Lot had their parting of ways, and Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom and made that poor financial decision. Made an anti-spiritual decision for financial reasons. Of course, God's children never do that. You know the why these things are written in the scriptures? That we may, through learning, understand and not make the same mistakes they made. That's why these lessons are in the Bible. Also, don't forget in Genesis chapter 13, that was when Abram built an altar at Bethel and worshiped God. Do you understand? He built an altar and worshiped God. Does that sound like someone who's dead in sins with no spiritual mind? My brothers and sisters, is it possible, it's so funny, isn't it? Is it possible that God can give people eternal life where there are no preachers, no Bibles, no churches? Do y'all understand, when Abraham was living back there, there wasn't even a nation of Israel. No Bible, no tabernacle, no nation of Israel, no Levitical priesthood, no Pentateuch, no church, no preachers, no priesthood, no nothing, if you'll forgive my double negative. How did God get eternal life to Abraham in Ur of the Chaldees? The same way he got eternal life to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Do y'all understand, every person, John 3 tells us, every person that's born of God is born of God the same way. God does not have 7 or 8 ways to get people born again. It's all the same way. One way. Amen? Okay, so Abraham's born of God, comes up out of their Chaldees, worships God, builds an altar and worships God. All right, in Genesis 14, he goes down and rescues Lot. Gathers up some of his men, goes down and rescues Lot, who's been taken captive during the battle of Sodom. A lot of people are taken captive if they pitch toward their tent toward Sodom. Anyway, and Abraham goes down there and he delivers Lot, and on that trip he meets that strange fellow named Melchizedek, who is at least one of the most powerful types of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ anywhere in Scripture. He was the priest of the Most High God, the King of Salem, the King of Peace. Here's a priest-king before there's any Levitical priesthood. And he meets Abraham and brings forth bread and wine. You wouldn't have to twist my arm very much for me to get me to believe that they had a New Testament communion service, or as close as there, long before, are you listening, the Passover was ever instituted. And what did Abraham do when he saw Melchizedek, my brothers and sisters? He gave him tithes of all. Does that sound like an unregenerate person to you, worshiping God, having a communion service, giving one tenth? Who put that notion into Abraham's idea? Blah, 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 blah. Yabba dabba doo. Who put the idea into Abraham's head to give one tenth anyway? God or the devil? What do you think? People don't give up their money for carnal reasons normally. Well, I take that back. We do give up our money for carnal reasons. I better not go there. Does giving one tenth to the high priest, the priest after the order of Melchizedek, does that sound like someone who's unregenerate? That's in Genesis chapter 14. Now we come to Genesis chapter 15. Now, y'all, I want you to know, while you're turning to open in Genesis 15, Abraham's made mistakes that I'm leaving out here. He's already gone into Hagar. In Genesis chapter 15, Ishmael's about 13 years old. if I've got it straight. I'm trying to keep that all straight. Now, he never should have gone in unto Hagar. I want you to understand, whether you agree with me or not, that I am 100% convinced biblically that Abraham was an eternally saved person before he ever left Ur. He's done all this, he's been all this obedience, following God by faith, following God he knew not where, by faith. We even call him the father of the faithful, because he's following God by faith, not knowing where God's leading him. You're going to have to do the same thing if you follow God. The reason being, God is smarter than you are. He's smarter than me. I look back at my life. I'm now 62 years old, and I look back at my life, and it blows my mind how the Lord has directed my path when I knew it not. And even some of the failures that I have done, things that I thought I was going to do that I failed at, I look back and now know God was even in my failure. Can you say amen? Now we come to Genesis chapter 15. I need your prayer so bad. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram." He's 75 now. By the way, God gave him this promise about he's going to have a child. He said, "So I'm going to make a nation out of you." And by the way, did y'all know that Abraham believed God the first time he ever heard that story? I wonder if you ever think, well, how often do I have to hear the doctrines of grace? Brother Gary just keeps preaching about grace. Well, listen, and maybe you can understand why, okay? And these things the word of the Lord came into Abraham in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Right now, I am that. God is not telling Abraham what he's going to be when Abraham gets to heaven. God is telling Abraham that he's his shield and great reward while he lives. Now, y'all listen. Heaven, you're going to go to heaven. If you're a child of God, I ask you, do you love God? Do you hate sin? Do you love Jesus? Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? If you do, you're going to go to heaven. Not because you did that, that's fruit. Be thankful you're going to heaven. Now what we need to do is live our lives for Christ. Live our lives for Christ. We'll have a better life. God wants you to have the best life you can possibly have. And so he tells us how to be husbands, fathers, children, etc. How to be good children of God. How to be church members, etc. "I am thy shield, thy exceeding great reward." Abraham said, "O Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless?" He still doesn't have this promised seed. "And the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus." And Abraham said, "Behold, thou hast given me no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "This shall not be thine heir. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be not be thine heir." That, by the way, is the definition of fatherhood, paternity. Right there. Say amen, church. This is why males father children, females do not. And there's the female-male dichotomy that the whole world's losing its mind over. And may I say, binary is all you get. Binary is all you get. And then what do women do? They bring forth those children. They nurture them, grow them. Tremendous. Okay. "And he brought him forth." Abraham's 75. He's been told this promise at least 15 years. Here's one of those big delays in the Bible. How many of you like delays? Go to the airport, it's hurry up and wait. Hurry up and get there and you wait for a couple hours. Hurry up and wait. How many of you like that? Well, we need to be patient. God's not on our time schedule. We're so pitiful, aren't we, y'all? Let's face it, we're just pitiful. God is so far above us, it's astronomical. I'm going to ask you again. What do you think is the cognitive distance between man and God? What's the cognitive distance, you reckon? Do you realize the cognitive distance between God and man is so tremendously, excessively far that the only way we can know anything about God is to be born of God? He's too far above us. Let me ask you, when's the last time you had a conversation with an amoeba? Do you have the power to converse with an amoeba? You know what you'd have to do? You'd have to do something to that amoeba. I'll let you think about that. Okay. So, he brought him forth. Abraham's 75, been waiting a while. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars. That means count the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Now I know, y'all listen to me. Man, I need your prayers bad. I know this is speaking specifically of the number of the nation of Israel that would once eventually become a great nation. But the actual typology is, it's speaking of the elect family of God. Any theological theory that says there's just going to be a few in heaven is incorrect. See, grace reaches so many more people than any work system can ever reach, because it's God that gives the grace. And God can reach where there are no Bibles. Say amen. He can reach where there aren't churches. Hallelujah. The Bible, God even says he's got a people out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and family under heaven. And y'all, that goes all the way back to the garden. I say, hallelujah, praise Jehovah. I believe God in Christ will have the preeminence in all things. Do you? Abraham, look up at the stars, so shall thy seed be. Now I want y'all to understand something here. All Abraham is doing, I need your prayer so bad. All he's doing is standing out in a field, looking up at the stars, and believing the word of God. That's all he's doing. Next verse. And he believed in the Lord. All right, now I'm going to be real mean here. You cannot imagine the commentators that say this is when Abraham was born again. Do you see now why I went through the chronology that I started this sermon out with? Genesis 12 coming up out of Ur by faith. The worshiping in Genesis chapter 13. Rescuing Lot in Genesis chapter 14. Giving tithes to Melchizedek. All those things that happened. Those are not the actions of an unregenerate person. Those are the actions of a child of God. So here's Abraham believing God. This is not when he's born of God, but this is when he believes the word of God. Y'all, listen. In Genesis 15, he's 75. He is not worshiping at Bethel. He is not paying tithes to Melchizedek. He's not doing any of that. All he's doing is believing what God has told him. That's all he's doing. And he believed in the Lord. Listen, are you listening? And he, that is the Lord, counted it to him for righteousness. Do you understand what that is, my brothers and sisters? Listen, God gave Abraham credit for a righteous act. God said it was a righteous act, and all Abraham is doing is believing gospel truth. Can you say amen? Now I'm going to ask you a question. If God says it is a righteous act, is it a righteous act? I allow it is, don't you? Now, y'all, this is when he's 75. I almost want to ask you if there's any questions. I hope you understand. Okay. Now, listen here. God Almighty says that Abraham's belief was a righteous act. And y'all, he's really, think about what Abraham's believing. He's believing something that he, y'all listen, he's 75. And he's still got a while to wait. He still has a while to wait before the promise will come to fruition. So he's believing something that really, from the carnal point of view, is hard to believe. Even so, when you hear the gospel preached and you believe it, you're hearing something that is kind of hard to believe from the carnal point of view, isn't it? I can look at each one of you. I know most of you very well. I love all of you with all my heart. And I can look at you, and there's no doubt in my mind why God loves you. But I have real problem understanding how and why he could love me. I know what I am. You understand what I'm saying? Abraham believed God. He believed what God had just told him. Abraham, you're going to have a great host of people. You're going to have a lot of progeny. And Abraham believed it. And God said that was a righteous act. Now, I do want to ask you, what would it have been if Abraham had said, well, that's just too good to be true, and refused to believe it? Brothers and sisters, if God says it is a righteous act just to believe truth, we must understand if we don't believe truth, that's not a righteous act. If Abraham had said, well, that's too good to be true. That can't happen. That can't happen. That's physically impossible. Do you know there are people that won't believe the Bible because some of the stuff that happens in the Bible is physically impossible? Well, right now, I'm going to tell you, I don't give a rip if it's physically impossible. I know God can do the physically impossible. Aren't you glad? All right, man, you will never convince me that they didn't cross through the Red Sea and kick up dust while they did it. And the wall of the water standing up there on both sides of them. And then you'll never convince me that didn't happen. By the way, you'll never convince me that Jonah wasn't gulped and swallowed down by a whale. Is it possible? Well, with man it's not possible. With God, all things are possible. Isn't that great? Abraham believed God. God gave him credit for a righteous act. What if Abraham had said, well, that's not what old Terah taught me. That's not what my daddy taught me. That's not what my daddy taught me. This is mean. May I say, we need to pay attention to what our parents teach us, but you know, sometimes our parents can be and are wrong, and we have to go by God's word even, but instead of what our parents say. This is not to dishonor our parents. What if Abraham says, well, that's not what my pappy told me? Well, what if Abraham said, well, I just can't believe that. I just can't believe it. Okay, y'all, if God says it is a righteous act to believe the truth, to believe God's word. And that's what Abraham's doing. He's just been preached a sermon. You understand what I'm saying? He's just been preached a little mini sermon. Abraham, so look up at the stars. Can you count them? So shall thy seed be. God preaches him a little sermon, and Abraham believes what God says, and God says that was a righteous act. I say, when you or any other child of God hears the word of God, the truth of God, and believes it, you are also given credit as for a righteous act by the God of heaven. I'll fix it to prove it to you in Romans here in just a second. Okay. That's Genesis 15. 25 years later. 25 years later in Genesis 17. Now, I'm not going to read 17. I want you to turn to Romans 4. Okay? You can go home and read Genesis 17. when Abraham, God appears to him when he's 99. 25 years later. And God appears to Abraham 25 years later, as you turn to Romans chapter 4. And basically, are you listening? Tells him the same old story. The same old story. And would you be willing to admit, maybe, that Abraham now being 99 and Sarah 90, that if from all carnal logic and carnal point of view, Abraham has more reason not to believe it when he's 99 than he had when he was 75. And God appears to Abraham and tells him basically the same thing. This time next year, Sarah's going to have a son. Same old story. How frequently do you need to believe the same old story of God's grace? How frequently do you need to believe it? May I be so bold as to say we need to believe it over and over again. I'd even say every day of our lives. And this is why church is so important. So Abraham's 75 years old in Genesis chapter 17. And God appears to him, gives him the self, same message. Abraham believes it again. The same message. Y'all listen, y'all think of New Testament the whole time I'm talking about Abraham? How often do you need to be told salvation's by grace? How often do you need to be told you're a hell-deserving, bankrupt sinner in your own nature, but God came to save just such people? How many times do you need to be told that? How many times do you need to be reminded of it? You need to be told and reminded of that so often you can believe it in your heart every single day, because it's going to be the single thing that is going to let you know you're a child of God more than any other thing. I can stand before you and hold up an impossible standard of moral and ethical and theological behavior and say this is what you've got to be to go to heaven. And if I tell you that long enough, you'll be so depressed you won't know what to do. But if I tell you that your salvation was absolutely completed and wrought by the finished work of Christ, his atoning sacrificial death on the cross, and then when he said it is finished, he meant it. If I tell you that, you can rejoice in that every day of your life, knowing it's in spite of what you are, not because of what you are. I tell you, there are going to be people in heaven who don't deserve to be there. In fact, that's going to be all the people in heaven. None of them will deserve to be there except for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I might as well tell you, Adam and the reason our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is called the last Adam, y'all listen to me. What Adam did affected you just the same as if you did it. What Adam did affected all that were in him just the same as if they did it. That is why we are sinners by nature. By the same token, what Christ did affected all that were in him. Okay, who were the ones in him? The ones that were put in him by God the Father before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1, 1 Corinthians 1, and 1 Timothy 2. And what Christ did affected all that were in him just the same as if they had done it. This is your hope. I'm going to ask you, do you believe it? And if you believe it, may I say, God gives you credit for a righteous act. It is a righteous act to believe truth. Incidentally, let me tell you what it is. If we believe error, that's not a righteous act. Let me pause and ask, are there lots of God's children that believe error? You bet. Lots of God's children believe error. I have believed error myself. I'm afraid I still do. I don't want to. I hope God will show me my error so I can correct it. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Romans 4. Romans 4 is all about this. He talks about these two times in Abraham's life, when he was 75 and when he was 99. When Abraham heard the same story. Believed it. God gave him credit for righteous act both times. I've wondered a lot about, and I'm not trying to be mean, but I wonder a lot about these theologians that insist that Abraham was born again in Genesis 15 when he believed God. And now he's 99 and he believes God again. I wonder if maybe they say he was born again. You see, it just won't work. You've got to be born again first before you can even believe God and believe truth. You've got to be given that spiritual mind, you understand. And so if you're here and you have that spiritual mind, I tell you on the authority of the Word of God, you are a child of God. How sad would it be, my brothers and sisters, if I were to stand up here this morning speaking to a room full of people who have faith in God, love God, believe that Jesus is the Christ, hate sin, trust God to do right. If I stood up here before that room, before a room full of people in that condition, and they are born of God, and I stood up here and told them what they need to do to be born again. Do you see how that won't add up? All right, Romans 4. Amazing. When you read Romans 4, and you go home and read it, you're going to have to remember that when in 15, Abraham's 75, in 17, he's 99, Genesis 15, Genesis 17. Because they're sort of crammed together here in Romans, okay? Romans 4. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory before, not before God. By the way, justification by works is also taught in the Bible, the book of James. Here's the way justification works. By the way, the word justification means two things in the Bible. It means to be made just and also to be declared just. You were made just by the blood of Jesus. Your belief in truth declares you to be just in your own mind. If you understand the truth of salvation by grace, that's the thing that'll let you know you're a child of God. More than works, if I tell you you've got to do a bunch of works. Okay, what if I tell you you've got to do this, and I add... but you've got to do it with your whole heart. How are you going to? You can't even. Which one of your hearts are you going to do it with anyway? Amen? I mean, you know, you still have the old carnal nature. We've still got our carnal mind. We've got the spiritual mind, the mind of Christ. Also got the carnal mind. Why do you have bad thoughts? Why? I mean, you're some of the most godly, wonderful people, but I bet you still have bad thoughts once in a while. I know I do. Just let somebody cut me off in traffic. And Becky will say, well, she don't have to say anything. I know I'm wrong. Just want to pitch a fit. What I'll say is, I'm going to pull him out of that truck and scuff his head up on the concrete. That's what I usually say, something like that. Scuff his head. What? I guess confession is good for the soul. You understand what I'm saying? Why do we have bad thoughts? Where do those bad thoughts come from? Just, there it goes. And you say, where did that come from? Did that ever happen to you? Well, let me tell you, if you've got this dilemma of the good nature and the bad, that's because you are a child of God. That's strong evidence, Romans chapter 7. Anyway, okay. For what saith the Scripture? Romans 4:3. What saith the Scripture back in Genesis chapter 15? Y'all with me? Abraham believed God. He believed what God told him. He believed that little sermon God gave him that morning. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. By the way, do you realize that is saying, listen to me very carefully. That is saying that you're believing in truth. Abraham's believing the truth was a righteous act. And are we not told in Thessalonians, I believe it is, that we are not saved by works of righteousness which we have done? Do you realize when the Bible says we're not saved by works of righteousness which we have done, that even involves your believing truth. See, you've got to be saved in order to believe truth, not the other way around. Not the other way around. Y'all with me? Now, then here, let me say it one more time. Do God's children still believe things that are incorrect? All over the world. Does the fact that they believe things that are incorrect prove that they are not God's children? No. What it proves is that they are living in a miserable condition where they may not even really fully know or have complete confidence that they are God's child. And what a miserable condition. You say, well, no way. Yes way. Listen to this. If I could ever preach one smooth sermon, y'all would faint, wouldn't you? You'd just faint. And I wouldn't blame you. I can't. These things, this 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. I will ask you, do you believe on the name of the Son of God? And I know you do. That ye may know that you have eternal life. Do you realize one of the functions of the gospel is that God's child will know they have eternal life? The gospel is not what gets us eternal life, but it helps us to know we have it. Just like Abraham, listen. Abraham knew when he believed God, he knew he was going to have progeny. God had made a covenant with Abraham. And when Abraham believed that, he knew God was going to keep his covenant. God made a covenant before the foundation of the world with all his children. And when they can understand the gospel and believe it, they know God's going to keep his covenant, and they know they're part of it. Are you with me? Do you understand how important belief is in the mind? And it is how we obtain this freedom, this blessedness of knowing God as our Father. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Sounds like he's repeating himself. Well, how many times do you need to believe on the name of the Son of God? How often? How frequently? Is this something you do at age 30 and it's one and done? That's it. It's one and done. Just believe it one time and you're done. No. This is something we need to do every day. How often do we need to commune with God? I would lovingly submit, herein lies our strength, our comfort, our peace, to make it through the craziness of life and stay sane. Are you with me? And is life crazy? What? Back to Romans 4. What saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. If believing truth is a righteous act, we are not eternally saved by our righteousness. Can you say amen? Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. In other words, if you work for it, if you've done something to work for it, you've earned it. Anytime I would say to you, here's what you've got to do to get eternal life, you've got to do this, it's no longer grace, you've just earned it. I don't care how small the thing is. I've told you the story, I know. I used to love to read Cabela's catalog, and I wanted all those boots and gloves and rifles and, you know, when I was 40, 22 years ago, whoo, man. And I found a little card inside the Cabela's catalog, and it said, earn free stuff. And I'll never forget it if I live to be 100. Earn free stuff. What? I mean, if it's free, I can't earn it. If I've earned it, it's not free. I mean, come on. Y'all, salvation's free to the sinner. By the way, it cost Christ everything. Do you realize when God made Christ to be sin for us? Do you realize God imputed all the sin of all the sheep to Christ? And Christ bore the wrath of God in his own body on the tree so that you won't have to. It cost him everything so that it could cost you nothing. And yet, I'm going to say, because it cost us nothing, we owe God everything. Now, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. In other words, Abraham's just standing out in that field. Remember, he's not at Bethel. He's not paying tithes. He's not making sacrifices. He's standing out in the field believing God. That's all he's doing in Genesis 15 and in Genesis 17, which we're fixing to get to. His faith is counted for righteousness. It's right there in the Bible. Do you see? Do you see, my brothers and sisters, how important it is to understand that Abraham was born again before he ever got to Genesis 15? Do you see why it's so important? Otherwise, I'll be thinking that when Abraham walked out there and believed God, that's when he was born again. And that's absolutely incorrect. All right, now, the tail end of Genesis. My goodness. The tail end of Romans 4. And he's going to now talk about Genesis chapter 17 when Abraham was 99. So he's 75, 99. 25 years have elapsed. 25 years. And of course, I know how Abraham felt. He was saying, Abraham was saying, where'd those 25 years go? That's what he was saying. All right. Now, Genesis 4. I keep saying Genesis. I mean Romans. Romans 4. Verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. In other words, he's 99. He is past the age of fathering children. That's what that means. He's dead while he's walking around. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So he didn't consider the fact that he was 99 and Sarah's 90 and they're past childbearing. He believed God anyway. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. This is when he's 99 now, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. By the way, remember, don't forget, God just told him the same story he told him when he was 75. Same old gospel story. How often do you need to hear it? I don't know. And being fully persuaded that what he, that is God, had promised, he, God, was able to perform. Do you believe it? Do you believe that God is able to promise eternal life to people before the foundation of the world? And do you believe that God is able to perform it? Do you? And if you do, God will give you credit for a righteous act because you just believe truth. Verse 22, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness the second time. Y'all, every time you believe Bible truth, gospel truth, it is a righteous act. God gives you credit for a righteous act, and you have pleased God by so doing. And every time we refuse to believe it for whatever the reason, we do not please God. Now, let me continue on here. Now it was not written, verse 23, Romans 4. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. This isn't put it back there in Genesis just so we know it was for Abraham. I'm telling you, the Bible's the most astonishing, flabbergasting book you'll ever contemplate. So it wasn't written. Y'all listen, that is not recorded in Genesis 15. And Genesis 17, just so we'll look back and say, well, whoop-de-doo, Abraham believed God. Whoopee, that's what's wonderful. And it is wonderful, but that's not what it's all about. It's also about you and me and God's children today in 22. Oh, that was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Do you understand what that's saying? Every time you, as a born-again child of God, believe Bible truth, gospel truth, y'all, even if you have to confess you've been wrong before, even if you have to say, you know, I haven't always understood that, even if you have to make adjustments in your belief like I have had to, like we all have had to, when you believe Bible truth, gospel truth about God and Christ, He gives you credit for a righteous act and it pleases God. And you, by so doing, are justified by faith in your own mind and conscience. It's not when you're born again. Otherwise, you're born again every time you believe truth. Well, time's up. Okay. God had made a covenant with Abraham about what he was going to do for Abraham. And by the way, do you realize that God kept the promise to Abraham in such a way that Abraham knew it was only God that could do it? Think about it. Abraham's 99 years old. Sarah's 90, and they have their firstborn son. I keep picking on Sister Elaine. Sister Elaine, Brother Roland was still alive, and she was about 90. And she came to church with a baby bump. Wouldn't you be gabberflasted? God worked this out in Abraham's life so Abraham would know it was God that did it. When we understand the gospel truth about how we've been saved from sins, we know it's God that did it and not us. We know that there's nothing in us that could do it. We know that we didn't even want it when God gave it to us. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. And I love to think about the fact that God's free grace, without any strings attached to the sinner, can reach so many more people than any other work system you can dream up. Oh, I'm so glad, aren't you? Okay, I,